Good morning, everyone. Here in a moment, we'll be starting with our sermon this morning. And I'm hoping that I loaded the right slides because I thought I had a blacked out slide at the beginning. So this morning, as you can see, we are going to be talking about the rhythm of rest today. Now, I do want to apologize. Last Wednesday, I completely forgot to let Brad know that I was traveling. I had even put together the Wednesday lesson slides and put them on the computer back there. But going along with the lesson this morning, I'm going to be talking about the benefits of rest, like helping your memory and recalling things and things like that. So I was thinking about that when I was putting this lesson together this morning, about how important rest is, even just to ourselves. We think of how it impacts others and how it can impact ourselves when we have plenty of rest. Now, as we go throughout the lesson today, I'm going to be using several scriptures. I have references to the scriptures on the board this morning. We're only going to be reading snippets of the scriptures. I am going to be kind of talking about them as we kind of cover them more in depth. But I ask that everybody to follow along this morning and keep your Bibles open. Also, please feel free to write down the scriptures and refer back to them as we go through this. I try not to have a whole lot of individual scriptures. I like looking at one scripture and kind of basing everything around that. And we're going to be doing that with two different verses today. We're going to be kind of looking at the beginning of the Bible and the end of the Bible as we talk about this rhythm of rest. Now, I started thinking about this lesson a few months ago because I started tracking my own rest and sleep. I have a ring that tracks my sleep patterns and rest patterns, and shockingly enough, they're not very good. And if anybody is doing that, where you are tracking your rest patterns, it's interesting to see if you don't feel right that day, or you forget things, or you're just not feeling well, to go back and see how well your rest pattern is. And then the days that you do feel good, to go back and see what changed. Maybe you had too much caffeine before you went to bed the night before and you didn't sleep well. But tracking those is very important, and going back and seeing how we rested. As we continue the idea of rest, one of the things that I was thinking about with this is there is a lot of things going on with rest. And I think I did give Nick the wrong set of slides, but it's fine. I must have not slept well last night and put the wrong set of slides on my USB stick. So with rest, there is a lot of different things that are out there involving rest. I think about mattresses. It seems like every time you go somewhere, there's a mattress sale, because think every household and every individual has a mattress. So there's a lot of commercials about mattresses. There's mattress stores. There's apps that track our rest rates. We talk about taking a vacation and having rest, or if you go on vacation with me, you need a vacation when you get back from that. I don't like to stop. So think about all of these things together. We have trackers. We seem to have more ways to rest ever before, but we're always exhausted. So some of the things that I was thinking about, are we looking in the right place for rest? So when we think about that, we think that God invented rest. So let's take a look here in Genesis 2, 2 through 3. God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested. Let's think about that. If we look over in Genesis 2, 2 through 3, we can see that after God was done completing everything, he said he rested. Genesis 2, 2 and 3. And it says, on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day, and all his work which was done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because he rested from his work which God had created. Which is interesting, because if we were to turn over to Isaiah 40 and 28, it says the everlasting God neither faints nor is weary. So why did he rest? If God never faints or is weary, why did he rest on that last day? Interesting enough, I'm going to relate this back to when Jesus died on the cross and to think about why God rested. This is something that I've considered when I've done research regarding rest. Just to start here in Genesis, when we think about resting, we think of this pattern that God has now put before us. Even when he made everything here on this earth, he made this pattern. We think of our mornings and evenings, our summer and winter, our tides, even our breathing. One of the most important things is I was even considering our heartbeats, that rhythm. Did God need to rest after he completed everything? Or is he setting up a process for us? Or when he was finished, since he was finished, did he take a step back to then let everything move in process? Because since he was done, there needed to be an ending to that development. So when we think about these flows, we think of these things that God has taught us with resting. Just starting off with Genesis, and again, talking about Isaiah, one of the other ideas that we think about quite a bit with this is, what about the Sabbath? I often think a lot about the Sabbath. I just drove back home from Chicago just on Friday, and when I was driving, I saw a big sign at a church that said, "Are you interested in the Sabbath? Stop in and have a discussion." Then I was thinking, well, if people truly knew what the Sabbath was, then, you know, would they be stopping in for that conversation? And what day would they pick? Would they do it on Saturday? Or would they do it on Sunday? I was just interested by that sign because I'm like, well, that didn't really help individuals too much, but I guess if it sparked somebody's interest, they would stop in. But I really want to think about the Sabbath, and I want to think about wandering in the wilderness and everything that God set up for his people during a very important time. So, what did the Sabbath and what did rest truly teach the people as they were wandering in the wilderness? So with that, I wanted to think about manna as we think about the Sabbath, because that required faith. When we think about manna, and I had AI make these pictures, and I'm like, those kind of look like snowballs on the ground. And then I started doing research on what manna would have looked like, because I normally have thought about it as flat breads. But there's actually a couple websites dedicated to some scientific studies about maybe what manna would have looked like. And maybe it would have looked like that, because it was talking about how they would have just gathered the grain together and cooked it real quick. So some of them would have been like a lump. And I was like, well, that's weird. I never thought of it that way. I always thought of like a flatbread. So maybe the picture's not wrong. But one of the things that we can think about is they were asked to gather it twice as much on the sixth day, so that last day they could rest. Now, we get that from Exodus 16 and 22 and 26. So if you were to turn over to Exodus 16 and 22, you could see here in Exodus 16, 22, and it says, "And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omens for each one, and all of the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses." Okay? And then in 26, it says, 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Okay. Now, if you were wandering in the wilderness and God provided food for you for 6 days and told you not to do it on the seventh day, you really had to put your trust and faith in God that there would be nothing on that day. We know that if they pick more than they needed, it spoiled between the next day. So they needed to trust in God that that food would maintain to the next day. How many of us would be able to rest knowing that that next day that we would have food available for us? I was just thinking about the first time that maybe this had happened and thinking that when they woke up on that seventh day to rest, that food was available for them. They would have had to trust in God. They would have had to have faith in Him in order to have rest. As we can see, as we're doing studies, especially on Wednesday night, there are so many things that are set up during that time frame with Moses that really made the Israelites have to trust and have faith in God. But as we think about this trust and faith, we have to consider that I'm not the one that's in control. God is. God is the one that's in control. Because just like the Israelites had to trust that everything was going to be provided for them that next day, and as they were wondering, we too have to trust in God. Because today we run into a lot of problems. We might struggle throughout our days. You know, it's not because we're lazy or anything. It's normally just because we're exhausted. There's multiple times that I've been at work and I'm like, when I get home, I'm going to do this. And when I get home, I make it into my chair and it's about as far as I get. You know, our calendars stay full. Our phones are always ringing. All of our email notifications. But God calls us to be faithful, not necessarily busy. I was thinking about, too, sometimes when people ask us, well, how are you doing? And we say, hey, we're busy. Sometimes that might mean, oh, well, I'm important. Well, there's nothing more important we can do than to trust and study God's word. So are we busy doing that, or are we busy doing other things? I was talking to my boss the other day, and she had mentioned how my studies were going with my degree program I'm in. And she said, well, the only way that I got through mine is I would wake up on Sunday mornings, and I would go to a local coffee shop, and I would work all day. I'm like, well, I don't really have that opportunity because I go to church. And she said, oh, yeah. She said, that must cause a lot more extra stress. It's like, well, it does, but the idea is I'm still putting God first. Because even if I were to drop out of the program or not finish it, I believe as long as I was putting God first, that was what would be important. And I think that would allow me to rest easier at night, knowing that I was doing that more than just something of this world. So we can think about how busy we are and about how things impact us. And maybe that's why we're not resting well in the evening. Maybe we have stress and worry that is keeping us up at night. Maybe our sleep patterns are not what we want of it. But to have true rest and to think that God is there for us, we think about that rest. Now, another person that I was thinking about that was just in exhaustion was Elijah. I don't know if too many remember this story. I think this is a fascinating story. So we get this from 1 Kings in 19. We have Elijah was exhausted because he was fleeing Queen Jezebel here. And Elijah was just exhausted. that he basically found a tree, curled up, and fell asleep. Just was like, I'm done. He even prayed to God here in Kings 19 that God would just take his life, that he was done. He wasn't going to run anymore. He was so tired. He prayed that God would just take his life. I don't know about you, but I don't think I've ever been that exhausted. And I have never had to flee for my life from a queen that wanted to kill all of the prophets. However, there has been times, for instance, last week in Chicago, that I was so tired, I was like, I'm ready to crawl up and fall asleep on the floor of the conference room. I was so unbelievably tired. Not only tired, but just exhausted from the work, because I had running the conference, I had multiple speaking engagements at the conference, and then I was asked by our government to lead conversations in the evening with the British government. So then not only was I working all day, but then I wasn't ending until 10 or 30 at night, then going from dinner from there, and then going to bed around 1 and getting back up at 6. It was a lot going on. So then just exhaustion. I remember my friend looking at his sleep the night before he was flying back home to England. I said, well, how did you sleep? And he's like, I got 2.5 hours. So, man, that's rough. Just being exhausted. Now, I don't think, I may be wrong, but I don't think a lot of us may have hit that exhaustion like how it did with Elijah. But here in 1 Kings, God kind of allowed him to rest. Not only did God allow Elijah to rest here in 1 Kings 5, he actually fed him. We have an angel coming down to feed Elijah so he could rest. And after he ate, he fell back asleep again. And I just think about this rest that Elijah must have gotten, because God allowed that to happen. He fed him. He let him sleep. When he didn't think he could go any further, God allowed him to rest. With that, when I was thinking about Elijah, I was also thinking about Jesus' rest. Now, in Mark 4, 38 and 39, I find this story so impactful, because ever since I was little, I hadn't thought about Jesus resting or what it would have been like to rest in this specific case. So here in Mark 4 and 38, it says, but he was in the stern asleep, right? Because a huge storm had just arose on the Sea of Galilee here. And a windstorm arose and the waves beat the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? I couldn't imagine sleeping in that situation at all. When I visited the Sea of Galilee, it's not very big. And I think about the way that it sits in a valley, about how winds could probably just impact it very quickly, and about how it might seem calm for a little while, and then a storm hit really hard and go from, you know, being light to very dangerous very quickly. And to think that all of this is happening and Jesus is asleep. Now, he has got complete trust and faith in God that nothing was going to happen. He even rebukes them and says, he rose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you fearful? How is that you have no faith? I feel like this is a pretty impactful story. Because even in this desperate time, even in this time where you wouldn't think anyone would have been able to rest, Jesus had complete faith in God that they would be safe. I also think of this. I think of how exhausted Jesus must have been to sleep like that. We know he mentioned multiple times that he will rest later because his work on earth is not done. He must have trusted God, or we know he did trust God fully
in this case.
Because even though he rested, Jesus never rested from his entire mission. We know that Jesus' mission on earth is his food was the will of God. Because his food was the will of those who sent him. The Son of Man came to speak and save the lost. And we must work while it is day. Those were the things that, as Jesus is going throughout his life. So in John 4 and 32, he mentions, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. The Son of Man has come to seek and save which was lost, Luke 9, 19 and 10, and John 9 and 4, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. And I think about how hard Jesus worked while he was on this earth. We think about these words that he is working hard to serve God while he is here. And I often think about John 4 and 34, because my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Because that's essentially what Jesus said when he died. It is finished. And John 19 and 30, while Jesus was on the cross when he died, he mentioned, it is finished. I had never really thought about these words, these three words, as much as I had when I had studied for this lesson, because these might be the most three powerful words that we're going to consider this morning. Because in Genesis, like we had talked about this morning, after God creates the heavens and the earth, he rested because it was finished. And I know we've done this study before, where Jesus is sat on the right hand of God, because we think about that sitting as in rest. He came here to complete what he did, and now he is resting with him in heaven. He came to do that work. He mentioned that it is finished, and now he can rest. We know that he did all that work. He was exhausted. He came here to seek and save the lost and essentially die on the cross for the remission of our sins, that he needed to be that perfect lamb. So when he mentions that it is finished, his work on earth was done. We talked about the temple veil being ripped, that being completed, that we now have that perfect relationship with God, that he came and finished that task. We know that throughout his sermons while he was alive, there may have been things that Jesus said that may have been confusing to the apostles. In Matthew 11 and 28, he mentions that he says, come to me, all you that labor heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, when I was younger, and I was thinking today too, it's like when I was younger, I mean in my 20s, I used to think that this rest was when you died, that you had that internal life and home in heaven, that was your rest. However, doing a lot of studies with rest today, I think about how we are to put our faith and trust in God. If we have faith and trust and hope in God and faith, that is rest. We think about all the trials and all the things that we worry about in our lives in this world, things that keep us awake at night that do not allow us to rest or to have inner peace. And I think you can't have any of those things. You can't have rest and you can't have inner peace unless you trust and have faith in God. This is a strong call to those individuals who are tired, who are weary, who are not getting the rest, who are worn out or burnt out, that he will give them rest. So there's a couple questions we have to consider as we think about this rest. As we had mentioned, am I trusting God enough to rest? Am I trusting that Christ's work is finished? Like he mentioned, he said his work is finished. Do we have faith and trust in him? That he died on the cross for remission of our sins? Am I trusting in God enough to have rest? Sometimes it's hard for us to think about that. Do we have that inability to rest? Do we think about what this reveals to us? Am I resting in knowing that Christ has finished his work? Or am I trying to earn something that Jesus has already completed? So when we think about that physical rest, and again, I was thinking of Genesis 2:2-3, about when God rested and had finished, in John 19:30. That we know that God's work is completed. Because our physical rest can change the way that we live. God established a rhythm of rest from the very beginning of creation. And we think about how we consider that rest and about how we operate with more rest and that we can trust in him. We think that because his work is finished, our striving doesn't have to be. We think of Matthew 11:28. We'll end with this verse this morning. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I think that those words impact us more now today, even so when Jesus spoke those. Now that we have the whole completed story of the Bible, and we know that Jesus' work on earth was finished, that he came to die on the cross, the remission of our sins. We think about that rest that God gives us, and to think that we have that peace of mind, knowing that we have that eternal life in heaven, that we know that we would have rest when this life is over. I have friends that are not religious, and I often wonder how they deal with things as rest and having peace. I don't know where they would look. I don't know what they would search for if they didn't have the words of Jesus in the Bible, to think that we have that rest with him. And this morning, if you would like to have that rest with him, if you would like to become a child of his, we know that we have a way that we can become that by being baptized and following him. Because we know his yoke is easy and his burden is light. That even when life gets hard and things are hard to work through, we know that having his will can help us through those times. I want to thank everyone this morning. The lesson, the slides that I had put together were completely different than what I had up here. So this is where I probably should have had more rest, making sure that I pulled over the right set of slides. I think about that because I had a lot more than what was up here. And the font was a lot bigger so everybody could read it. So hopefully I didn't exhaust your eyes this morning. Maybe after today we can go home and rest and consider the words of the Bible this morning as we think about resting with him, having peace. With that, again, if you would like to become a child of His, please come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.